Pray with me. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In many ways, this is the beginning of our passage. It's one of my least favorite passages in all of the New Testament, mainly because it betrays Jesus in a negative light, or at least it appears to. His behavior seems uncharacteristic of what we've come to expect from our healer, our Savior, Jesus. Why didn't he just heal the woman's daughter right away? Why did he implicitly compare the woman and her daughter to dogs, which would have been a great insult? Now, in order to make sense of this puzzling gospel passage, we have to dive into the gospel according to Mark's narrative. Now, we remember from last Sunday that before our passage, Jesus explains that there's nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. But the lectionary didn't tell us everything Jesus said in that passage. Jesus also said, "Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and goes out into the sewer?" Thus he declared all foods clean. So if Jesus thought that all foods were clean, then he would also have thought all people were clean and should receive the grace of God that he offered. Now we see something similar happening in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. Peter has a vision in which heaven is opened up and he sees various animals that were considered profane and unclean. And God tells him, "Kill and eat," saying what God has made clean, you must not call profane. After the vision, Peter baptizes Cornelius, a Gentile, who Jews considered unclean. Peter says, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." So Jesus would have already considered the Gentile woman as acceptable to receive God's healing, restoring grace. Now, if we go all the way back to the very beginning of Mark's gospel, he says that Jesus rose and went from that place. Now, this is the same phrase mentioned in Mark's gospel right before Jesus seeks solitude, rest, and before he expands his mission to new territories. We also see Jesus moving back and forth between Jewish and Gentile areas throughout Mark's gospel. And before his encounter with this woman, Jesus has already been in Gentile territory and healed the Gerasene, who was possessed by a demon. But in our immediate context, Jesus has healed many in Jewish territory and he's tired. So he moves into Gentile territory, hoping to get some much-needed rest. But his reputation has preceded him. And so he's bothered by a Greek woman, a pagan, a Gentile. Mark makes it very clear that she is also a Syrophoenician. Now, Syrophoenicians were part of the upper class. They exploited the poor Jewish farmers for food. They essentially ate the bread of the Jews and took food out of the mouths of their children. Yet now this woman, part of the upper class, has to humble herself to request help from a Jewish teacher and healer. She is desperate to heal her daughter, her status, her means. Cannot do it. But when she asked Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter, he replies, "Let the children first be fed, for it is not right for the children's bread, for them to eat the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." What can we make of Jesus' response? Perhaps Jesus responds to the woman's plea has something to do with the way he was treated the last time he was in Gentile territory. I mentioned earlier that he cured the Gerasene, but how did the townspeople respond when he cast out the demon? If you recall, all the demons went into the pigs, and the pigs went over the cliff. And their response to Jesus' healing was that they responded in fear and asked Jesus to leave the area. Apparently, he was not very good for business. He may want to give her this riddle to move her closer into seeing that he's not just some other miracle worker, but he is the Jewish Messiah, the one who ushers in the kingdom of God. Or perhaps he wants to call her attention to how she has exploited the Jews, taking the children's bread so that she could humbly repent. At any rate, Jesus' words to the Gentile woman reveals that his primary mission to bring the fullness of God's kingdom is first and foremost to the Jews. He is their Christ, their Messiah. But Jesus didn't say that his mission was only for the Jews. He said, let the children first be fed. The word first opens up the possibility that the Gentiles could also receive grace. They also could be fed. He says, the first opens up the possibility that the time will come when others beyond the children of Israel will be fed. And if you've read the Gospel of Mark, you know before this that indeed the time was now. Jesus has already fed the Israelites first. Before he came to the Gentile region, Jesus fed the Jewish multitudes in a Jewish region. They ate and they were satisfied. The children, the Pharisees and the scribes have arrogantly resisted Jesus' new law of God's freedom and love. And so Jesus gives the Gentile woman an opening. He gives her some hope that her daughter will be healed by saying first. And she wholeheartedly takes it. She responds, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. But notice what she says in these words. She does not fight Jesus. She does not say, no, I'm not a dog. The woman accepts with great humility that she is a dog and must place herself second after the priority of Israel. She comes to Jesus with no claim to his grace. She comes as an empty-handed beggar with no claim of Jesus at all. She comes with complete openness to Jesus, trusting that his abundant love and grace will extend beyond the children of Israel. She addresses him as Lord and asks to sit under the table to be fed the crumbs of grace which will fall from the meal Jesus has prepared for the nourishment of Israel. And Jesus says to her, for this saying you may go your way, the demon has left your daughter. Jesus' riddle is like a rabbi who gives a student an opening and spurs them to debate their teacher in the hopes that they will give him a strong, victorious argument. Jesus always intended to answer her request, just as God's warning to the Ninevites has always intended to bring them repentance and deliverance. In doing so, he reveals the woman's humility and great virtue. He reveals her great faith. He reveals to us that we have no claim to the healing, restoring presence of God to save us from sin and death. Only through faith can we receive the gift of life, Jesus Christ. And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. In this encounter between the Gentile woman and Jesus, the boundaries between Jews and Gentiles are destroyed. The inbreaking of God's kingdom is for all who come to Jesus in their nothingness, recognizing that only in Jesus Christ can God's plan for the salvation of the world be revealed and fulfilled. The house to which he returns, not a Jewish house, a Gentile house, has become a site for his authority to liberate people from the unclean demonic world and claim them for the kingdom. Our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior connects us to the promise of the children of Israel and allows us to receive that promise so that we too can be justified and transformed. It is our faith, which is also a gift of the Spirit, that enables us to wholeheartedly receive Jesus Christ, who purifies our hearts, minds, and souls to be children of God. Through this woman's faith, Jesus heals. And through the faith of others, Jesus heals a man from the predominantly Gentile region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. They besought him to lay his hand upon him. This man has a lack of the ability to communicate, causing him to feel isolated and lonely, causing him to feel disconnected from family and friends. What are some of those things that cause us to feel isolated, alone? But this time Jesus heals through a touch, a word. Given COVID, one of the things I think we probably missed the most was the human touch, a handshake, a hug. Jesus Christ not only sees the person, but truly sees them in their pain. And he goes up to them and gives them the touch of God. And Jesus heals the man, fulfilling the words of God from Isaiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Many times the temptations and values of this world can make us deaf to God's life-changing, life-saving word. They can lure us into thinking that other things matter the most, that we can put our trust in our material possessions. Through our encounters with Jesus in the Word proclaimed by the church and the sacraments administered by the church, in the prayers of God's people, and in the liturgy, our ears are open to see what truly gives life is Christ. Having heard that word in the context of our own life experiences, we turn to testimony and thanks and praise. And then we go out into the world with a living faith, a faith accompanied by actions of love toward our neighbor, embodying the healing, restoring presence of Christ in the world. We go out to share the good news that God's love, God's grace, God's power to heal and restore humans who are suffering is for all. Amen.